Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling right. You ain't even got to get cage match out because it's Dope Boys of the Year and the ratings is on the house. It's on the house. It's on the house.
House. Hey,
listen, we said to you guys, every week we will be here no matter
by
what.
Force.
Whether it's three man, shit, whether it's two man, whether it's one man. But three man are here today. The eight boys are in the building. You already know what vibe it is. It's your boy Del Boy, Gop Daddy. I'm joined by Young Wolf, Young Sasuke. You already know the vibes. Also joined by, you might see him in Shoreditch. You might see him on CWH. You might know him as Tamora. You might know him as Tyson Ola. But you'll definitely see him in Loden Bar. Lifting the millions.
And
millions of women that pass through. But Ola, it boys, you already know the slogan. How's the man them doing today?
Hot, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Good, good, good. We ready to talk some graps? Ready to talk some graps, some hoops? Yeah. Where do you guys want to start off?
The obvious TNA, man.
Let's talk about TNA, man.
This week's TNA, it didn't move me. Oh, I'm not gonna lie, it didn't move me. Yeah, I'm just not behind Moose as a main event world heavyweight champion. I just can't do it. My mind doesn't. Yeah, and I know that's a Scott guy, and he has improved a lot. But I just don't see him as like that guy and the faction that he's with. I mean, I'm looking at the No Surrender main event as well, which is him versus Alex Shelley. And that doesn't move me. No disrespect to Alex Shelley, because that's my guy. But I'm just not moved by like the main event scene. And I was thinking about it when I was watching. I was like, how do you or who do you put in that scene to really elevate it? I mean, Dolph Ziggler's not going to be in that picture for a while. But I'm thinking, like, outside of, like, Alex Shelley and that, like, what do you do? Like, who's there? Do you know what I mean? But, yeah, overall, I just didn't really, wasn't too invested in the show, to be honest with you, other than that tag match.
ABC versus GYV. Can't lie. I think that's the issue I'm having with TNA at the moment, is that, do you know what it is? I'm a Moose guy. I'll be real. I'm a Moose guy. I'm a Moose guy. I think, don't get me wrong, in terms of like character work, I don't think Moose is that great. I think, especially when it comes to like cutting promos, he has this weird stoic aura aspect to him, which for me, I don't think necessarily works. But it's fine. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? In ring work, I think he's solid. I think he's good. I think he's dependable. I think he gets away with, he can get away with it. Alex Shelley, I love Alex Shelley. I was happy with his world title run. I was a bit disappointed that his run got caught short, but we have to pass the torch on. The problem is that there's not that many guys in the main event scene. And again, that's the problem that TNA is having. You've got the likes of the Josh Alexanders, who isn't necessarily at that point. He's not like, we're not seeing them. We're not seeing him there. He should be. Steve Maclin should be there. There's even Alex Hammerstone. You saw Alex Hammerstone at the last pay-per-view, Hard to Kill. That's someone that I'm surprised that they didn't end up signing and having as part of the roster.
He's
not signed free agent, man. You know, I mean, that's someone that I would have heavily invested in and, you know, looked at being someone to put in that scene. You know, people like Eddie Edwards, who's part of the system, I generally don't see. This whole system faction, I can't lie, it's not moving me, man. And it's frustrating because even someone like an Eddie Edwards, like, he had plateaued in terms of wrestling for the past 2-3 years. And it felt like last year was probably like his coming out party of like, you know what, I'm back. He had a couple bangers last year. And I don't know, I think I said this to Jim, like, once he started wearing kick pads again, it seemed like our boy is back. Seemed like our boy is back
with the right trainers as well,
bro. I'm like, honestly, the whole system, I'm like, I'm not moved. I like Brian Myers, but again, I'm not moved. Alicia Edwards, she's toast. I was even speaking of Josh Alexander. He got attacked by Simon Gotch a few weeks ago. So obviously he's occupied by that. Do you know what I mean? So, some of the major players are occupied with other things. You mentioned the Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is probably not going to get the reins of a world title till a few months down the line. And obviously, he's busy in New Japan. He's going to be facing David Finlay in a matter of a month or two. So, I feel like outside of like the women's division, the X division, and the tag team division, the world title picture is low key suffering. And I would see why a lot of people probably won't be too fond of Moose being a world champion. If there were maybe like other major contenders that you could potentially push to have Moose face, then it might be even change people's perspective. Like, okay, cool, Moose is able to go through these people. But I don't know, I'm just not sold on an Alex Shelley rematch, if I'm being honest with you guys.
I agree. Literally what you just said, like, I feel like if you had a long list of competitors that were like really tough, and you look at them and you feel like, oh yeah, TNA has to put the belt on them, and then Moose overcomes that, like, that would for me probably change my perception on him. I'll probably look at him and be like, yeah, you know what, like, this actually the guy, like, he deserves to be the face of TNA. But Alex Shelley, I'm not saying that Alex Shelley again is bad at all, that's my guy, that's like from day one, innit? But is he going to take Moose to that next level? Is this feud going to take Moose to that next level? No. Like, it's not. For me, it just seems like, oh, we have to do a rematch because we've got nothing else.
I think all my issue with Moose is that he had a stellar 2021. No, he had a stellar 2022, and he had a good 2023. So even outside of the world title, he was doing some good stuff. But now that he's got the world title, and it seems like the world title picture is kind of derelict instead of like having major competitors. It's not like an AEW where there's like several people that we can see contending for the world title there. Whereas here, it's just like, okay, cool. There's plenty of different competitors that could potentially vie for the world title, but they're occupied with other things. And it's like, of course, you want storylines to be brewing up and down the card, but at the same time, you still want to be able to look on the horizon and think, okay, cool. Once Moose goes through an Alex Shelley, there are other competitors. So I don't know if maybe the move is to maybe, okay, cool, they've got their partnership with AAA that's been announced. Maybe get some AAA talent to come and just, you know, get some Moose some wins. Yeah. They've got the New Japan partnership. They'll obviously like get a lot of indie talent in as well. Like there's so many different ways to even potentially like get him competitors. Even maybe move people up from the X division. You don't necessarily need people. Yeah. You don't necessarily need people solely just fighting for the X division title. Like you can have them come, like someone like Kevin Knight. Someone like a Kushida. These are people that have fought for the world title. But, well, not Kevin Knight, but Kushida's fought for the world title. Mm-hmm. Kevin Knight would do good in a match with Moose. Do you know what I mean? So,
I'd love Kenta to fight for the title again and actually win it. Because I believe he had a match last year. Was it a triple threat or a singles match? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it was last year or the year before. But he's doing really good work in New Japan. So I'd love to see him get another opportunity in TNA and actually hold the belt, because might as well at this point, bro. There's nothing there, man. It's sad, but yeah, like you said, there's other options that they could do. It just depends on what they're going to do with Tommy Dreamer and his creative decisions.
Apparently, that's not true.
Is it not? Because I've seen an interview.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe they've double backed.
I saw something about him joining, being on creative, not being true. Apparently, he denied it straight away. So
yeah, maybe he showed them the first sheet, and it all had it. and they said, "No, this is not running today, my boy."
Well, I think he's been part of creative for time. Maybe he's just Maybe he's just not the head of creative. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, what do you guys think in regard? Like, okay, you guys spoke about Scott D'Amore losing his job. He's no longer part of TNA. Got fired effective immediately. of course, a lot of the shows that we're going to be seeing over the next maybe month or so, these are stuff already been taped. So, and we've already, like, we've been hearing, like, through the grapevine that a lot of talent, they're not happy about this. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've even sent a letter kind of, like, showing their support for Scott D'Amore and, you know, wanting to stand in solidarity with him. What do you guys think the next move is in regards to the creative for TNA?
They just need to find a way to show the talent that they can be trusted, even though Scott's not around. I think that's all it is. I think once they're able to kind of show that trust and we're able to build trust between those two, I think they'll be fine. I think the ship will steady.
Yeah, I agree. It's about finding that trust or finding somebody that they can trust. And like you said, Tommy Dreamer's been on creative for a minute, so that was probably the smartest decision for them. It depends, man, because it seems like the talent don't want to go corporate, meaning they don't want someone from Anthem to run creative. They said in the letter they want someone of wrestling to be head of creative. So it might even be TNA going out and getting somebody who, you know, used to be in creative or has a creative mind. Like, I know it sounds far-fetched and I don't know if they have a good working relationship, but even someone like Jim Cornette, like anybody
you look like Jim.
I was gonna say Mick Foley.
I can't lie. Jim Cornette has worked in TNA before, and we like it, don't get me wrong. Like Jim Cornette, like, okay, let me get my personal feelings away from Jim Cornette. Yeah. I would say that his wrestling mind, he's a visionary. Like he's a genius. Do you know what I mean? Much like everybody, much like other people that have worked in like other creative positions. But I feel like with Jim Cornette, he's so kind of like far gone. And like his wrestling ideals, it just doesn't align with me. So for me, I just don't see what he could bring to TNA at this point. Like, I genuinely don't see it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I genuinely don't see it. But I mean, Jim Cornette is better than nothing, because at this point, I can't really think of anybody. Like the only other person I could probably think of that could potentially be decent is someone like an Al Snow. Al Snow worked in creative in the past, but he's doing OVW. But if I speak on OVW, they'll say I'm a rude person, and I'm not empathetic.
But is it Mick Foley on OVW or working with OVW?
Has Foley not done creative?
I'm sure he's down there in creative.
I can't imagine myself in a sticky situation, man.
I wouldn't even say TNA. This is Anthem. Anthem has jam-bazzed. Like, and the thing is, I totally get it. Like, TNA are probably not making as much money as they possibly want, but at the same time, like, morale was high. Like the interest in the product became even higher due to the name change. And bro, we saw the social media outreach in terms of like the new belts, the logos, the arena. Like, bro, even things from the matches that have been happening at Hard to Kill from the first pay-per-view of the year. Like, you can see that there's been a turnaround in the interest of TNA. You know, but
I see Moose. I mentioned it to Ola as well. I watched the interview with Moose, and he was saying that like it's even nice for them to have gone from like working in front of like a few hundred, not a few hundred, but you know what I mean? Like close to 1,000 or just under 1,000 to like that first big pay-per-view under the new brand, Hard to Kill. They were like in front of like 4K or something like that. Like, and to them, that's big in it. That's a big jump. So now like for them to probably downscale because of Anthem or to lose that momentum, sad, man.
I've been hearing that there'd been like an increase in like the subscriptions for online. A lot of people started to get the TNA Plus, and you know, so there's been an increase. And like, of course, with like from what I'd read, that one of the main reasons he even got fired, well, I don't think that was one of the main reasons, but mm-hmm. basically he had him and a couple backers had wanted to purchase TNA.
I don't see the issue.
I don't see the means of that being why they would fire him for that. But yeah, the plan was he wanted to outright buy TNA.
It's a simple no.
Yeah,
like, if you're trying to buy a company, yeah. it would just be a simple no, and that's it. Like we're not willing to sell. Like that wouldn't affect your working relationship. Yeah.
Especially like it's because even if cool, he's got a couple backers that they want to invest in this company, they want to buy the company. You could easily say no. It's not like okay, cool. Him and the backers can conspire to try and take it from underneath you. You've already said no, and you can't give away this company. You can't give away the assets, the media, the tape library without a yes. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I feel like there'll be a few naysayers that will probably say that yeah, the video library isn't worth anything. But bro, if you look at
that video library is worth.
Bro, if you look at the video, if you look at the talent that have come through to that company, despite even the years that TNA wasn't even necessarily popular, it's worth something. Do you know what I mean? Do you guys want to quickly go through the No Surrender card? No Surrender is going to be next week, Saturday on the 23rd. It's a short pay-per-view, unlike some other companies that want to do 25-man matches. By the time it hits 5 a.m., there's still 24 matches left. No Surrender, 23rd. So we have Chris Sabin versus Mustafa Ali for the X-Men title.
That could be match of the year. A match of the year contender, not match of the year.
I'm proper enjoying the story with Chris Sabin and Mustafa Ali. Like, Mustafa Ali hasn't even stepped foot in TNA yet, and already he's just causing chaos.
I mean, we're talking about world championships. You know what I mean? Like, you were saying move people from the X-Vision. Mustafa Ali is one of them, man.
100%. What are we saying in terms of who's going to win?
Definitely Mustafa Ali.
Really?
Yeah, no, bro, I can't lie. It has to win. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he can't come.
After what happened in WWE, and then you're coming to TNA to do this big presidential type. Nah, you can't. I'm sorry.
And Ali's a draw, you know.
Yeah.
Don't let any naysayers or any Ali's a draw. I can't lie to you, bro. Wherever Ali is wrestling at, yeah, since his 90 days was over, bro. These wrestling companies, they're booking him like wildfire because they know people want to see Ali. People are invested. People are invested. So, I mean, it would be interesting to kind of see what happens. Like, even if Mustafa Ali doesn't win, I'm very much interested in, like, because I'm seeing he's doing this whole presidency campaign kind of feel. I'm interested to kind of see, okay, cool. How can he spin it in, like, from, like, failure?
It was rigged.
So, like...
It was rigged.
That's it. That is it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and this is what we need. Like, as good as Ali is as well, regardless of whether he wins or loses, you know the promos he's going to cut are going to make so much sense and they're going to be so intriguing. You don't even care if he loses.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, we still want him to win at some point. Do you know what I mean? So, but then, like, if he does end up, let's say if he fails and then he says, you know what? This was just me running for mayor. I want to go for presidency. And that's him wanting to go for the world title. Bro, the campaign. Hey, man. Hey, man. We've got Jordynne Grace versus Giselle Shaw for the Knockouts World Championship.
Anyway.
I'm just going to say Jordynne Grace probably retains.
Yeah.
Probably she has to, man.
Yeah, I think it would be too short of a reign to drop it now.
Decay versus MK Ultra, Masha Slamovich and Killer Kelly for the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championships.
Anyway, man, next one.
I'll go with the Decay still.
Decay. Yeah. The thing is, I don't know why MK Ultra lost it in the first place. I think MK Ultra are a great team. Masha Slamovic is amazing. Killer Kelly is amazing. Like, I feel like I would have kept the title on them for time.
The K are too over. That's what it is, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Next match got PCO versus Khan.
What do you think, Sasuke?
Khan is running around with this new like gimmick of like, I'm the baddest guy in TNA, rare. Like, I'm not convinced
at all, bro.
I'm not convinced. Like, I'm not convinced. Khan, come on. I'm not convinced. Bro, I can't lie, man. There's a fraud amongst us.
Yeah.
And it's not PCO. I'm not invested. I won't be surprised if Khan wins. It wouldn't make sense. You have like PCO can easily lose. Khan, like, you can't have this gimmick without actually winning, otherwise it'll be redundant. So this next match is the match that I am looking forward to. Josh Alexander versus Simon Gotch.
Graps. Straight wrestling.
Simon Gotch's return to TNA, first of all.
Return? I don't think he's wrestled in TNA.
Because he was obviously... I know that he wrestled against Alexander about 5 years ago. I don't know if he's still been in the company since then. But how do you feel about the whole him being a fan, then obviously attacking Josh Alexander, now leading to this story of like everyone was talking about Josh Alexander since then, or about me, they kind of forgot about me. For sure.
This was his debut, but you see me, I'm a big Simon Gotch fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like from when he left WWE, like Simon Gotch in WWE, I didn't really care too much for, because I wasn't familiar in it. But then when he left WWE and his 30 days was up and he started doing indies and whatnot, that's when I started to really see him wrestle. I was like, oh, this guy.
I liked him in MLW as well.
And in MLW, he was cold as well. Do you know what I mean? And he's done a few things in Noah as well. Like, he's still signed to Noah. But I think this match, like, if you're not familiar with Simon Gotch, this will be your entry to him to know how good he is.
Okay.
He is a great technical wrestler, whether it's the catch style, whether it's submission wrestling. Simon Gotch is really, really good. And I don't think there is someone... I think him facing Josh Alexander is a great pairing for him. If you're not looking to go out of your way to find matches from him, this is your first time watching him, you should be in for a treat. This should be a very, very good match. Unless they're trying to... If they're trying to do more matches outside of this, maybe they won't empty the clip. And I'm fine with that. If we know we're going to get more matches and if this feud is going to be a bit longer than just one match and moving on. Because I don't think someone debuting as someone in the crowd and then attacking you, I don't think that's enough to just be one match. That has to be multiple matches. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm looking forward to this match. ABC versus Grizzled Young Veteran. The final match of the best of three series as it is currently 1-1.
I'm happy. I'm really looking forward to it. I would have loved it if it was like a ladder match. But I get at the same time, they just want to kind of keep it as like a tag team, you know, graps. Classic. Yeah, graps, straight graps. But yeah, I can't even lie. I'm looking forward to this and I expect ABC to retain.
Is
I
it? Expect it?
Yeah.
I can't lie. I want GYV to win, man.
They deserve it.
I love them, but I don't know. ABC for me right now, one of the best tag teams in the world.
I feel like they've been one of the best for like the past year. I said it, they are the best interracial couple since Shiroki, Shiroki and Sara J. The best interracial pairing. The best interracial pairing since Sara J and Shiroki.
Wow.
If you know, you know internet, you know independent wrestling. If you know indie wrestling, you know these two hoopers, these workhorses, fam. Submission artist.
Why is Ola looking in the camera like that?
Fam, the Ride or Dies, fam. That's their tag team name. But ABC, yeah. I won't be surprised if ABC were to retain, but I do think it's time for like some new blood to get their hands on the title.
Absolutely.
And I think GYV are good for it. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like there's still more people for them to face. I would love to see a singles match. I would love to see like GYV versus the Rascals. I would love to see GYV versus Motorcycle Machine Guns. GYV versus even Time Splitters. Like there's so many different people they could potentially face for matchups. So that we haven't seen yet. So it would be dope.
Question, yeah. I hate to do this, but I don't know when their contracts are, but ABC, do you see them like re-signing next time around? Or do you think it's time for them to, I don't want to say bigger things, but you know what I mean? Like,
I could imagine both of them potentially. I mean, I think it just depends on their mission statement. Do they want to continue to be the top, one of the top tag teams, or do they want to maybe venture into separate stuff? Because both of them are very talented as singles wrestlers, and the fact that they were even able to come together as two singles wrestlers to pair as one formidable team, that's amazing. Like, not a lot of people are able to get that type of synergy like they do. But at one point, both of them were both vying for world title, so I don't know if maybe the TNA world title could be in their sight for them, which I'd love to see either one of them be TNA world champion. I'd love to see both of them fight each other for the TNA world championship. I think it's just, you know, it depends. I'm guessing the obvious, if they were to go to maybe a bigger company, it'd probably be AEW. I don't feel like that's a means that needs to happen. Would they fit 100%. Yeah. I think talent-wise, it's undeniable. But AEW already have too many people. Could I see them in WWE? I could potentially see them in WWE. But at the moment in time, I just don't see where they fit in. I just don't really see. And they could potentially even maybe go back to Japan, maybe have a longer tenure there.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because like then for me, it's like they're Bullet Club, but they're not really Bullet Club. Like, they are Bullet Club, but I want them to be more integrated with what they're doing in New Japan, so I wouldn't mind that, honestly. Yeah.
Bullet Club has a massive problem with its own at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Bullet, don't get me started.
That's a spin-off episode on its own.
I love Bullet Club, but bro, it pisses me off. and this is why I keep telling people that the reason people are not taking David Finlay seriously is, how can you take someone as a leader seriously when there's so many men running around doing whatever they want, but this guy's only controlling one portion? It doesn't make any sense.
It's true, you know.
It doesn't make sense. Kenta and Chase Owens just won the GHC, the IWGP World Heavyweight Tag Team titles. That's a Bullet Club team that has won tag team titles. Yeah. But them man are celebrating with them lot. Them man don't even rate them lot. Do you know what I mean? That's why, man, I'm thinking they genuinely need to kick everyone out. And he needs to form, David Finlay needs to form Bullet Club in the division that he seems fit. And I won't lie to you, I feel like ABC are young. They would definitely fit in the War Dogs, 100%.
Would you keep Gabe in there as well?
Yeah. And then on the other hand, Ace Austin and Chris Bay were recruited by Jay White, who was kicked out by David Finlay. So maybe the long-term story is that at some point, Bullet Club Gold will now go head-to-head with Bullet Club War Dogs. And just off by proxy of being recruited by Jay White, ABC might say, you know what, we're sticking with Bullet Club Gold. I don't know. That's just me fantasy booking, but
yeah, no.
Civil War, essentially.
Yeah. But then where does that leave even like the Kentas, the Chase Owens, the Taiji Ishimori's? These are people that are part of Bullet Club as well. And even then, we still don't know their
battle lines are drawn, man. Pick a side. Battle lines are drawn, bro. Pick a side.
Yeah. The final match is Moose versus Alex Shelley. I don't care for that match, but yeah, carry on. I don't care for that match.
We definitely need to do an episode on Bullet Club, like just a little extra episode. I'm down because they got problems, but back to the main event. No one cares. No disrespect. Again, Alex Shelley, we love you, but no disrespect. You know, we already know the outcome. Do you think there'll be any interferences or anything like that? Like, as in, like, to maybe even cause an upset to say Alex Shelley wins?
I mean, Chris Sabin. They're doing this whole thing of, like, who is it that keeps on coming out to save Shelley? Is it Kevin Knight and Kushida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got Moose's side, which is... I don't even know the bozos. I'm just gonna say, innit?
Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, dead man.
I'm dead.
I mean, we'll probably see some interference, but as you said, like the match is lost, is not gonna have any, like, there's no interest because we already know who the winner is and it's gonna be Miss.
I feel like it's leading to some big match or something between the two teams, like maybe like a lockdown or something. Because I don't really need to see, I don't see why everybody's involved. I don't see why Moose is a part of a faction. Yeah, that whole main event scene just needs to get sorted out. But yeah, the card is not looking like a...
It's not crazy.
Yeah, it's not looking like a must-see, but...
It's quite average.
Yeah, I do want to watch that Mustafa Ali match. That's the draw for me.
And the tag match.
And a tight match,
yeah. Speaking of New Japan, let's quickly head over to Japan real quick. They had their new beginning in Osaka event last week Friday, February 11th. Last week Saturday, sorry.
Yeah.
To be fair, you know, the card as a whole was pretty good. I feel like there's only three important matches on this card, if I'm being very honest. Mm-hmm. Kazuchika Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. That was their final matchup, as you know, Okada's contract is done with New Japan. Decent match, about 15, 16 minutes. Okada ended up getting the win. This guy doesn't job for anybody. This guy doesn't job for anybody.
TNA messed him up.
This guy doesn't job for anybody.
TNA messed him up, man. he said, since my days of TNA, never again.
He ended up being Tanahashi, the president. And on his way out, he was crying, upset, emotional. I'm so sorry. I said it on the podcast. I said it on the Discord. This is not somebody that is crying as if he's not going to return.
Oh.
Don't get me wrong. Like, jokes aside, I do get the emotion behind it. You know, the journey you've had in, I think he's been in New Japan for about 17 years now. His first major rivalry was with Tanahashi. His final match was against Tanahashi. He cemented a legacy like no other. Absolutely amazing. Had an amazing IWGP World Heavyweight title reign. Has won the G1 Climax maybe God knows how many times, maybe 3-4 times. Won New Japan Cup. He's a prodigy. He's an alien. That's all we can say.
Has one of the best trilogies of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think it's a lot deeper than that pause. When I hear people talking about it, like it comes down to just day-to-day life, innit? Like your friends being there, like being back, like, you know, every single week I'm backstage in Japan, New Japan, like I'm always around my friends, my family. This guy's got to learn how to now tour, you know, be around the whole... Yeah. But he's still like touring, like traveling on a week to week basis. It's not the same as touring within Japan. Do you know what I mean? Like he's now touring around America. And I think it's just like the lifestyle and the family change as well. But he will be back. I don't know what capacity, but maybe he's even said he doesn't want to go back. Like maybe he said, like, I can't wrestle here while I'm in another company. Like, I don't know. No one knows what the situation is, innit? I know they got a working relationship, but
Yeah, I won't be surprised if Tony maybe says on his contract, you know, you have to work in AEW for a set amount of time before you actually get to go back to wrestle in Japan, you know.
Mm.
But it should be interesting. So I mean, apparently he should be expected to be in AEW in the next few weeks or so. Let's just say hypothetically, you know, he's allowed to maybe take a few indie bookings by then. You know, he's allowed to show up somewhere. Of course, Tony Khan wouldn't allow it because he has to sell tickets. But he says, Okada, during this free time, as you know, your contract hasn't come into effect yet, you can wrestle at any promotion, any country. Well, who would you guys like to see him against, and where would you like
GCW.
To see him? GCW. This nigga doesn't even watch it. This guy's a clown.
DPW.
I think top of the list.
I think it would be a very big fish in that sort of pond, though. But I think there's some cool matches that we could have, even like maybe a Bojack or a, remind me his name, Calvin Tankman. Like, there's matches there to be had.
Dream match, man.
Yeah, man.
So, that'd be a dream match, man, for real.
What about you, Jim?
Yeah, I was the same. I was going to say DPW. I feel like DPW is just right now, and you kind of go where people are like watching them and what's hot, and you strike while the iron's hot. Other than that, I would like to see him come to the UK. I'd like to see him do another Rev Pro.
Your call, please. Your call, not Crystal Palace. Your call, please. And hire an Arfie to film.
I didn't say nothing. I didn't say
that. Hire the man them to film it.
Production.
Who does the opponent be?
Ooh. Oku.
Oku, yeah. Straight
give
up.
Give it to me. For the belt.
Did you say give it to him?
Hold on, it's not on.
No. But hear me out. Oku. Okada. Your call. Crazy.
That would bang. That would be a great match. Who else would I like to see him go up against?
Okada versus Tate Mayfair would be dope.
At Hustle.
Okada and Hustle, I can't lie. That'll be scenes. Most people probably don't even know who he is, but
that's the beauty of it.
And that's the beauty of it. But once they kind of see the sequences and the drop kicks and everything, ooh, and he does the pose, I can't lie, he's gonna go over.
What?
Okada versus Cassius. Or Okada versus Rey and Kirsten, I promise you.
Book it.
That will feed families. Sid, if you're watching this, Okada versus Rain. God bless Rain. I wish her a speedy recovery. We need that back in the ring. Okada versus Rain. The Rain Maker versus Make It Rain. I promise you, Color Factory will be full to the brim.
What?
Listen, that will feed family.
Perfect atmosphere for that as well.
Bro, listen, I promise you. Let's even quickly talk about Hustle before we go back to Japan, because that's an independent cosmic company,
Let's talk.
Hustle are the best in the UK. I don't care what anyone says.
Hands down.
I'm so sorry. Hustle are the best company in the UK.
Hands down.
The last show that they did was absolutely insane.
Ridiculous.
Johnny, you're probably not going to listen to this, but once this is done, I'm going to send it to you so you can listen to it. Because as much as we give you your flowers on the main podcast, everywhere, here is the place where you'll be getting your flowers everywhere. Well. You'll be getting your flowers everywhere. Roses, you'll get that. Tulip, you'll get that. Blossom, you'll get that. Dandelion, you'll get that. I don't even know what flowers there are. Rose, I already said roses. Whatever flower there is, don't worry, next time I'm going to go on ChatGPT to give me a list of different flowers. You're going to get a bouquet of flowers. I'm going to throw it up in the air. You have to catch it. You know what I mean? Bro, Hustle was absolutely insane. And fair enough, it's a show where he's showcasing his students. But you know the one thing I love about Hustle, yeah, is that I'm guessing it comes from a bias because we work with Hustle as well, yeah. It seems very much like a team putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
The team are coming together to give you this amazing product. Whereas where with a lot of other shows, it just comes across like this star are just coming to just do their match and bounce. It doesn't seem like a collective effort of like, we're all coming together to do this. But then I think that's also a thing because a lot of these students and a lot of the people that wrestle for Hustle, that Hustle's their main show. That's the main place that they wrestle for. So I look at them like WWE or AEW talent, like, where this is our home.
Bro.
So our job is to make sure that whether we're in the opening match, whether we're in a segment, whether we're just doing backstage, or whether we're just the ring crew, mm-hmm. our job is to make sure that this is one of the best shows you'll ever have. And, bro, the talent up and down the card, whether it's Cassius, whether it's Adriano, Fabio Romano, bro, the roster is endless. I don't want to just be mentioning people's names before I forget people. K-O, and they'll now get up. KO, Liam Massett, Cairo, Petafoir.
19 years old. 19 years old. He's only wrestled like 2 matches now.
The black kid.
Yes.
Everyone.
I'll speak as an outsider that watches. You can feel what you're talking about. Like, so when you say like family, like it feels like a team putting on a show, you can feel it when you watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I went back and watched me and Ola actually went back and watched Sid versus
Tate Mayfest.
And it wasn't just the story in the match here, it was even just the environment. Like, I remember Sid went for his immediate DDT or something, and he pointed at Sam. And then Sam was like, "Hey, yeah." And it was just like, you feel it. Do you know what I mean? You feel the family vibe in the arena.
Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And another thing, Johnny probably knows, Sid probably knows how good he is, yeah.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't think he knows how good he is. I genuinely don't think he knows how good he is. Like, I think he knows he's good because he's been able to work for the WWE. He's been able to coach all these wrestlers and whatnot. But I genuinely don't think he actually is deep
in
how good he is in real.
I've watched him live.
And he's
watched
a mastermind.
Him live in 2019. So that was the first time I had watched him. And that was like the first Hustle show, like, under just a different name at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, bear in mind, this is my childhood friend, you know what I mean? So like, for me, it was like, bro, like, this guy actually done what he said he was going to do, do you know what I mean? You're just there with a big smile on your face. And then I watched this match. I said, no, this is not the same guy that I saw in 2019. This is, bro, he is a superstar. Like, the way he tells a story, like, his storytelling, the psychology in the ring, just how smooth and crisp his moves are as well, like, his delivery, the way he sells, like, fam, like, and what they're building there, do you know, it reminds me of TNA in 2003, like, early 2000s, when everybody was just TNA, like, you knew them because TNA built them up and built them into these superstars, and I feel like that's what you're doing at Hustle, and... You know, of course, we don't. You guys don't want them to move on, but if they do move on, if a WWE does come through or AEW does come through or whatever the case may be, you can look at them and be like, you know what, we did that. Like, they were part of our journey, our story, and then you get more eyes on the product, and then you might have to get a bigger arena because, you know what I'm saying, tickets just sell out in like 5 seconds. And yeah, man, I can see Hustle really being like a big thing. In the next year, I'm not even going to say like 2 or 5 years, I'm saying like the next year, Hustle's gone.
I want them to, bro. Even people like Rocco Garcia,
bro,
like that whole story with Rocco Garcia, Fabio, Adriano, the Limb Reaper, my guy, bro. Honestly, just like the storytelling is so intricate and so good, it's just. Chef's kiss, man. So big up Hustle every single time. If you've never ever been to a Hustle, the next show is March 5th. Even down to the commentary, the man them are so good at commentary.
Yeah.
The man them are so good at commentary. Bear in mind, like, man them never done commentary before.
It's actually mad.
Bro.
You know who else is cool?
Who?
The ring announcer.
I'm all right, man.
Bruce Buffer.
I'm all right, man.
No, you're
I get a headache every single time, but I can't.
Bring paracetamol next time.
I don't even take painkillers, man. I just have to let the body, the item is vital, you know? You know what I mean? the whole show is just a vibe. And like, Ola experienced it first time. Like, he came out with us. Yeah, just getting into the ring and hyping up the crowd, yeah. Bro, it's electric.
I'll be there in March.
Bro, it's not, bro, it feels like, I don't even have to describe it. I've been doing this for nearly 2 years now. So it's like, we come out, we hear our music, where the crowd is gassing us. Like, I'm telling everyone to get up, out their seats, flash your lights. What time is it? It's hustle time. Bro, fam, stuff like that, it makes me want to wrestle. Genuinely. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, if this is the vibe of, like, the vibe of the show as just a host and the ring announcer, people coming up to me like, yeah, I'm enjoying the show, love the show, this and that. Bro, I need to get in that ring. I need to wrestle. I just need to have one match. That's it. I just need to have one match. I don't even mind losing, even if it's a 10-minute squash match.
Yeah. Who would your opponent be?
Tate. Has to be Tate. Tate Mayfairs. Like, Tate Mayfairs or Vinny or... Tate. Generally. Like I said to him, bro, if I ever have a wrestling match, if it's not Gabe and it's not Johnny, it's not Sid, then it has to be you. So,
Ola, what about you?
Tate. Maybe Rain Leverkusen as well.
Rain as well. I used to go to school with Rain, so Rain will definitely be a shout. And Lee Evans, we were meant to have a feud, then he got injured. So, I mean, I think he's coming back as a face now, potentially. So, I mean, but Tate, yeah. Tate would be the person I'd want to face. I would have to be.
There was an Asian guy that faced Rocco Garcia a while ago.
Harry Singh. He's in Australia now.
I think he would be us.
Harry Singh. Yeah, he's all right. He's in Australia at the moment.
I think mine would either be... mine would even be Dell.
Let me be the ref. Sid, let me be the ref.
Or it would 100%, I spoke to Ola about this as well. It's more like story purposes. It would definitely 100% be Sid.
Yeah. Now that, bro, that would be good. And the thing is with you could actually, you're a
promo.
If you guys are listening, yeah. I didn't want this to be about 2K, but these guys Jem, I swear to you, yeah. The man, I promise you, my friends, yeah, Jem, Mex, Afo. Even on, I think the Mandem can cut better promos than a lot of wrestlers. I'm not even shitting it. I'm not even capping. I think the Mandem can cut better promos than a lot of wrestlers. I'll be very, very real. And like a lot of people could be saying, oh, that's blasphemous, this and that. Da, 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 da. But hey, I've been to a lot of wrestling shows. I've met a lot of wrestlers. And a lot of wrestlers will tell you their strong suits are not cutting promos. Yeah. A lot of them never have had to cut a promo. But the man them, they cut promos. The man them cut promos. I can't lie to you. The man them, hey, listen. The man them can cut promos.
For real.
You know what I mean? The man them can really, really cut promos. The man them can commentate. The man them can announce.
You do it all.
When the man, listen, when man them mania happens, yeah? When man them mania happens, and you see certain man on the card, hey, listen.
Just
be watching, man.
Are you gonna name a hustle pay per view that, or a big event that?
That's gonna be a wrestling's event, bro.
Wrestling.
That's gonna be a wrestling's event, bro. Obviously, hustle will be involved as well. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm spilling too much tea. I don't know if I'm spilling too much boba tea, but hey, man.
Hey.
But the thing is, I've said it on podcast time ago, like 2 years ago.
Oh, fair enough.
Mandemania. So, hey, man. Do you want this? I'm doing production. I'm doing vignette. So 2 years ago, you'll see the podcast where I said Mandemania. 2 years later, this podcast, Mandemania. A few months time on 2K, Mandemania. Then you see the graphic from 2K to real life. Chris Denka to the million. Hey, let's get back into New Japan, though. All right, cool. So we spoke about Okada. He beat Tanahashi, final match, emotional. This next match, I can't lie to you. I cannot lie to you. This match has pretty much maybe lapped a lot of matches that have happened this year already. And that's scary to think. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. This match
here
was insane.
CTE off, fam.
This match is insane.
Bro, I don't even have the words for this match.
Bro, there was a certain spot where they had each other both in a leg lock.
They were stamping each
other. Zack Sabre Jr. slapped him. Bryan Danielson spat in his face. Zack Sabre Jr. slapped him. He started smiling. Now they start kicking each other. They both now collapsed each other. They both fell on the floor. They've now gone back to it. I'm just like, what?
Bro.
I just have a question, yeah. And it's the obvious. ZSJ, what's next?
World title.
Immediately.
Yeah, it's time. World, you know what's mad, bro, yeah?
It's been time.
It's been
time. What's mad is before, I didn't think that... I always said, like, he's talented, he's amazing, like, but I don't ever see him getting there. I can't lie. I'm backtracking.
Okay, are you only backtracking because... What is Spray? We lost Spray and Okada have left now. Do you feel like...
No, because he's been killing... I would say he's been killing it for like... Maybe like a year, 2 years now.
Nah.
Maybe even 3 years, bro. New Japan... I'm sure this guy won maybe New Japan Cup twice in the past 3 years.
Yeah, he has.
I might be wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
So even from then, like, don't get me wrong, not all New Japan Cup with them.
I didn't see
going to win world titles. Okay, that's fair.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the vision. But my eyes is clear. Bro. 24K, baby.
Bro. Even his run as the New Japan World TV champion. Me and Jem were speaking about it every single week. Like, bro,
every week.
This guy is going to Ring of Honor. He doesn't even go here. And this guy is having matches at night every single week. It don't make sense.
And he's developed this character now, like this personality. Like, he never used to have a personality before. Do you know what I mean? He was just a hooper. Now he's a hooper that can talk and has charisma and has his guys, like, got his team. He's there, bro. The aura, he's there. Put the title on him. Like, New Japan, if there's one thing you do right this year, it's put the title on ZSJ. I think he deserves it, man.
100%. Bro, he's been in the company long enough, do you know what I mean? And bro, justice for TMDK, man. Bro, every title shot that they've gone for, bro, they just wallow, and it's like, bro, this team is a solid team. They've been holding down New Japan for God knows how many years, these last few years. Outside of the Bullet Club, outside of United Empire, bro, that, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
I'm even by the champion jacket right now, fam.
Bro, like, give them the belt, man. Do you know what I mean? Danielson equally, bro. That guy, this guy had a broken orbital bone how many months ago?
Bro.
And was still putting on bangers.
Bro.
This guy had a bang of Hechicero. He had a bang of Hechicero not too long ago. Do you know what I mean? Bro.
Do you know what I love about Daniel Bryan as well, yeah? He's just happy to be here now. But he puts on matches, like, just clinics all the time. But it's not because, like, he's trying to be a champion or anything. Donnie's just happy to be here. And he cares about the younger talent. Yeah, bro, it's lovely, man. Shout out to D-Bry. Or Bryan Danielson, BD.
Yeah. Now, yeah, bro, listen. Zack Sabre Jr., he needs that world title this year. Or even if it's just him going for the global championship. And then holds that for a bit and then goes on to win the world title. But I think he's ready, man. If not him, then who? Do you know what I mean?
Facts.
If not him, like, Naito's not going to be able to do this forever. As much as I love Naito, but hey, his knees are done.
They're probably looking at Finley.
I said this
at the moment.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like at some point Finley will definitely win. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just Bullet Club rites of passage at this point. As a Bullet Club leader, you end up winning the world title one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I just want supremacy for TMDK. That's it. They definitely deserve it. 100%. Look at Fujita. Fujita should be a junior heavyweight champion by this point. He's amazing.
Violet
Eagles is amazing.
Robbie
Shane
sold.
Nichols, Mikey Nichols, amazing. Bad dude, Tito. That's my guy. That's my guy.
Yeah, you've been raving about him for a long time.
Bro, Tito's my guy. Yeah. Great, bro. You know what I mean? But hey, man. And the main event for this show, Bullet Club War Dogs versus United Empire. It was a 10-man dog pound steel cage match. Yeah, it was kind of like war games, war game rules. Bro, I can't lie to you. There were so many things happening in this match, and it was like different stories into one of them. At some point, yeah, I can't lie to you. Not even to skip ahead, yeah. If I think it might have been like Francesco Akira, stuff with him, and then Will Ospreay at the end. Kind of, I got emotional, man.
Bro,
it was.
Oh my days.
You see when Will Ospreay went for the hidden blade, yeah, and he dropped in front of David Finley.
I said
cinema.
I said, oh no, even before that, bro, when he dragged, oh my god.
Whoa, something out of a film.
Bro.
At the end of a war, you know, when the battlefield has been set and it's just disruption everywhere and just
you're going to
everything.
Get your brother in arms. Bro, let them die. He dies in your arms, and you're like, I'm gonna avenge your death.
Man said, I'll save my brother.
Man said, it should have been me. Bro,
cinema, bro.
I can't get over that ending, boys. I'll be so raw.
And do you know what I love about this match? Yeah, it took me through so many emotions. Like, there was bits where I laughed, there were bits where I was like, you know, like cringing. There was a point where they lifted up the mats and stuff, and I was terrified, bro.
I was scared, bro. At that point, I was like, this feels too real now.
Yeah.
This feels too real. Like, and I, the thing is, one of my gripes was that I didn't like the fact that UE came to fight in their wrestling gear, and War Dogs actually came as a war. But in retrospect, I'm not mad at it anymore. For me, it was just like, you know what? I kind of get it. It's like, these are actual wrestlers versus actual animals.
Yes.
And it's literally the wrestlers. It's literally the wrestlers being in the animals' playpen. They're in their domain.
Yeah.
And, bro, it's just like, even David Finley, that super finisher done at the end. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking cold. I was thinking, fam, why could this not be your finisher? But I get it. Sometimes you need that world ender. Like, listen,
that WrestleMania esque.
If I do this move, there's
you're dead.
There's no R2 triangle. There's no.
You are dead.
You cannot do resilience. There's no payback. There's no resiliency. Nothing.
There's not even a bar for you to even try and kick out, bro.
Literally, it's just, bro. That match was, and everyone did great. Hanare. Mm-hmm. That they collapsed his head. He came punched through the steel, bro. Even Gabe, yeah, there was one point Gabe, he had the ladder around his neck. I'm a madman, you know. Actually, I lied. This is my gripe. Gabe, what's Gabe Kidd's nickname?
I forgot.
War Ready.
Oh, yeah.
Why are they not fucking playing War Ready? Why did New Japan?
So I was gonna ask you about this actually, but maybe I should ask you behind closed doors. But is that a Gabe decision or is that you?
It's a New Japan decision.
Is it?
Oh no.
New Japan, the fans love the song.
So why did they change it?
Obviously, War Dogs have their own War Dogs.
Yeah, of course.
But Gabe as himself has the war. Like, we've even got a Bullet Club version. He done it at Hustle not too long ago. But for some reason, Driller Maloney has his own song. Clark Connors has his own song. But then Alex Coughlin and Gabe have to come out to "As My Dogs For Real." The song's not bad, by the way. Like, that's not even me hating. That song's all right.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of an ear sore sometimes. But, yeah. Bro, War Ready, bro. I'm trying to hear that in Osaka, fam.
For real.
Do you know what I mean? But hey, man. Besides,
I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah.
There was a bit where Gabe dashed a chair at Will Ospreay's head.
Will looked at him as if to say, like, bro, you're right. Like, are we still wrestling or is this personal? I can't
lie. Gabe actually wrestles as if this is not like
that. This is real.
This is real. Like, I'm a madman, you know. Like, bro, do you know how raw that is? Like, I've actually heard man say that in real life, you know. Like, I'm a, like, bro, in school, I've heard man say, like, I'm a madman, you know.
You know? Jeez, I'm damaged, guys.
It's crazy, bro. But yeah, that match was like, it didn't even feel like an hour long. That's how crazy it was.
Oh, Gabe, yeah. It's too funny. 1 minute he's just wrestling, next week he turns around. F you.
No, all of them lot. Alex Coughlin, he's Clark Connors. Bro, there's one point where he tried to spear I think was it Hanare through the thing. His head dented into the fucking table. That was hilarious. I said, bro. Like, them man, like, nah, War Dogs, they like, win. Bro, I can't lie, I'm so invested. Like, if there's anything that's put them on the map, the visual of them at the end whilst Will's getting pinned, crazy. And them lot just posing, I was like, you know what? I hope the photographers did a good job capturing that moment, because this is what needs to be on posters, it needs to be on t-shirts. Like, this was an epic moment, absolutely.
And they lived up to what War game should be. Like, it was a war. Like, it was literally tables, thumbtacks. It was that, I can't remember who fell into the thumbtacks, but he fell twice.
Clark Connors, yeah. Man pulled the thumbtack. He's now poured whiskey on it, then poured it on himself. He's now been thrown into it and then got super kicked into it and then just dropped. I was like, fam. Like, and fam. Even Hanare doing the senton on, I can't remember who doing the senton. I think it might have been Alex or Drilla Maloney. He's climbed up on the cage and then the center onto the two tables. Even the double Oscar.
It just popped into my head.
With Callum Newman and Will. And on commentary they said, this is the present and the future.
Yeah, fasten the tour. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah, this is nuts. And I was like, bro, even little things like during the match, like people like certain things will happen, like people will come in for the save and then they'll go check in on Will, or Will will go check in on them. And then even the spot of like, I think, bro, the small details, even though it was at one point in the match where TJP and Francisco Kiro are going to go for their assisted cutter thing, they've now thrown a thing out. Then Will Ospreay's come and done the cheeky Nando's kick and said, I'll do it for you. He's not going to go do it, but then he gets stopped. And then Clark Connors jumps on his back, does the super. I said, bro,
this is the thing, when I finished this match, I said, I hope the E and AEW take notice. And I wasn't doing the whole comparison thing, but it's like you said, it's the small things, like it's the story within the War Games, like it's not the cage. Like, bro, these men had a meaty cage, my fence is higher than their cage. You know what I mean? The cage was tiny, but the story within the cage is what we cared about. We didn't care about the cage, we cared about what was going on. So the E and AEW, they got these massive structures. Cool. That's nice. But what are you telling me in the cage now? Like, what is there to actually represent a war? Like, what are these men trying to fight for? Do you know what I mean? Is it supremacy? Is it number one contendership? Like, what is... That's what I hope they take notice of, because New Japan had no budget, no massive cage, no production, just straight war, bodies, beef, chairs, best War Games match I've seen personally.
I hear it. I definitely hear it, because it's definitely better than the War Games that WWE done last year. Don't get me started on War Games. Don't get me started on the War Games that All Elite Woo did, because if I speak, they'll say I'm a hater. But anyway, yeah, that match was and bro, even Will Ospreay's speech at the end, emotional. Yeah. Like that made me a bit emotional as well, because it's like I've literally seen this guy grow from a boy to a man in this company. Do you know what I mean? He came in as this skinny kid from Essex to now being the actual world beater. You know what I mean? And it felt very like heartfelt from him. Like, he's so sincere about his time in Japan and the love he has for the fans. And bro, he's even as he's walking up the ramp, I think a fan tried to use her United Empire scarf to like wipe his blood off, and she's crying. I'm thinking, fam.
That's sad, man.
The Japanese fans are the Japanese fans are different, and it's like, bro, I can't even, like, if that happened in the US, yeah, unless it's like, I don't know, I'm a major prominent star, or I couldn't look at someone seriously and look at them like, why are you crying over this person leaving or whatever. But in Japan, I hear it because, bro, like, for them, like, this is different. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're not doing the Ega is a wanker, Dada is a wanker. Nah. They're not doing them type of chants. Do you know what I mean? Like, bro, like, they're so enamored by the wrestlers. Oh, and, do you know what I mean? They're so enamored by it. Like, bro, they take it to heart. Do you know what I mean? But, like, hey, man. Yeah. It's
different over there.
Do you guys want to quickly touch on Fantastica Mania?
Just quickly rush through it.
For those that don't know, Fantastica Mania is a quick tour of Japan that they've been doing with CMLL for the past, can't remember how many years, but they've been doing it for a while. It's a means to, you know, get CMLL, Luchador talent to come over to Japan, tour around, and just have some good matches, man.
Mm.
In fact, rather than go through matches, because it's been 5 days so far, so that's a lot of days. Let's maybe talk about certain talent you guys have seen or certain matches that you guys like, and you know, or how you guys have been finding the shows that you've seen so far, innit? As opposed to going each day and this match happened. Like, if there's any names that you guys want to speak about, let's speak about those names. You know?
I'll let Ola go because his tag rant was so funny.
Oh, I can't lie, man. I know we just praised New Japan, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see these, like, shows. I don't know if it's the same in Mexico and stuff. Bro, these men are multi-manning me to death. Pause, man.
Whoa.
Multi-man type.
That might be a... On God's... As God is my witness, that might be one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. I'm never trying to be dramatic. That is crazy.
Wait, no. Sorry. There's no other way I can put it. The multi-man tag team matches, brothers.
I'm so shocked. I never knew you had it in you. I never knew you had it in you, man. That's brazy. Multi-manning you to death. Do you know what it is to death? That's crazy.
Cut. Hey, look, man. I'm tired of the multi-man tag team matches. I can't do it no more, man. There's too many. Oh my god. I can't watch these shows.
I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of tag matches, but I think it's just the easier way for them to get talent on the show, innit? I mean you could have Fatal Four Ways, you could have six man battle royales, I don't know. Just tag match.
And that's just luchador lore for you. Like, they do a lot of like the multi-man matches and this, so and they also do like an in-tournament as well.
Mm.
During this period as well. So yeah, but I mean, I think, yeah, like I said, I think it's just a good way to kind of showcase the different talent. And you know, is there any talent that you guys may have not been aware of, or there are talent that you are aware of that you guys saw so far that you messed with?
Before I even mention talent, yeah, I just want to say this. Tanahashi's legs are finished, bro. I saw him going into an arm drag.
He's done, dad.
Done.
But yeah, no, for me, talent that stood out so far that I've seen, Mascara Dorado.
Bro, he's bloody amazing, man. Don't get me wrong, yeah. I'm a big fan of the original, innit? Big up my guy, Grand Metalik. But I'm a big fan. Listen, people need to stop sleeping on Grand Metalik, man. That guy is bloody amazing.
No, he was hooping when I watched him in ROH. Like, he was
he's amazing, innit? But at the same time, what Mascara Dorada 2.0 or Mascara Dorada is doing now, yeah, I can't lie. That guy is next world.
Different, man.
Next world. As in, that guy is doing... And that's the thing with Luch, like with these luchadors, yeah? Like, they're so innovative, and some of the stuff that they come up with, I'm thinking, like, what made you think of that? What did you watch? Spider-Man, bro, that's what I think of. I genuinely think of Spider-Man.
It's crazy.
Like some of the like man it's, will it's... be doing like leapfrogs, and this guy will be doing a tumble flip, whatever, and doing a Superman and a superhero landing. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So talented, man. So talented, and it's so easy. Like there's no struggle. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like he does this every single day, and he's only been wrestling for like what, 3 years?
Yeah, he's only 22.
Huh?
That's scary. He's only 22. Yeah, bro, he's 22. He's scary, man. I'm not saying he should. I'm not saying the E. I'm not saying anything. But he's gonna be gone in a couple of years, isn't it? There's no way you wrestle like that and no one's watching.
He's only 22. And then look at someone on the opposite end. Well, not opposite, maybe 20 years his senior. Volador Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He's 43. And he still moves the way he does. What are these men eating in Mexico?
I'm not going to say nothing.
What? No. Not even what they... What is Volador eating in Mexico? Bro, it doesn't make any sense. You're 43 and you're still able to be doing springboard 450, 360, 630, 220s. It makes no bloody sense to me. And you're as fast as you are.
I can't remember who I saw.
Bro, all 2023, him and Rocky Romero were having some of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And it's mad though.
Bro, it doesn't make any sense.
That, like 43, yeah, wrestling isn't really old. Like you're old as a person, not old, but you're getting into your older age.
Yeah.
But like your body still moves like you're like 20. It's weird, isn't it?
Some of these men are, bro. Imagine how many wrestlers are in their prime in their 40s. That's crazy to think about.
They're taking care of their bodies. That's what it is.
Do you know what I mean? But then, I was gonna say something mad. Let me keep quiet.
You have to say it now.
Bro, I was gonna say you should see some of my aunties at 43. They're crazy. Hey, some of my aunties at 43 finished. some of my uncles at 43 finito. That man are moving like they're 70, fam. Bro, young man like you at 43, you can't even get up to get the remote. And your age mates are doing 450s. And shooting star presses, even swing.
They might shame you.
Look at your age rates.
Brilliante Jr.
Brilliante Jr. He's incredible, man.
He's really good as well. And I like the. Was it? Incredible. Are they a tag team? Is it Stuka Jr. and Ultimo Guerrero?
Ultimo Guerrero, legends, man.
Really, really good.
Ultimo Guerrero. He's still going.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been at the eye for time, man.
And they were hooping as well.
Bro, killing it. Fans were messing with them, man. Yeah, man. Fans were messing. I'm like, Luchador wrestling is absolutely brilliant, man. Like, I just feel like once you kind of like, don't get me wrong, like when you watch a lot of these luchador companies like CMLL and AAA, when you kind of get into some of their stuff, it can be a bit complicated in terms of like match rules, especially like the multi-man matches. And like a lot of the time they do like 2 out of 3, 4 rules. But bro, when you get into the crux of like an amazing match, like bro, like someone like a Mystico, bro, Mystico, that's brilliant. Man.
So good.
Mystico, the original Sin Cara.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Bro, he's brilliant, man. Hechicero, brilliant.
I was going to say, I've really taken a liking to him, man.
Templario, brilliant. Sobriano Jr., brilliant. Stigma, there's too many of them.
These men are Power Rangers, man.
Bro, basically,
They're Power Rangers.
Basically, you know what I mean? Like, they're proper, proper good, man. Proper, proper good. Any matches that you'd... I'm not fair, they're all multi-man matches, mainly. I wish there were more singles matches, to be fair.
For real.
I wish there was more singles matches. You know
for
I mean?
Real. But, that's that really, isn't it?
Yeah. I can quickly talk about the GCW Jersey J-Cup. I can't lie to you. The Jersey J-Cup wasn't bad. I feel like maybe there was like certain people that were the sole focuses of the cup. But I can't lie to you. Their cup format, I wasn't really a big fan of.
Mm.
Maybe I missed a few weeks or maybe missed a few events, so I wasn't too sure. But let me even quickly get up. Because one of the matches to get into the next round was like a
I love how me and Olin just clocked out.
It was like a six-man match where whoever wins goes to the next round. It was a bit... I don't know.
Me and Olin just clocked out. That's a GCW.
No, but I can't lie. I can't lie. I feel like you guys would genuinely enjoy it.
Like, the J-Cup.
Jersey J-Cup. I mean, I'm probably lying. Okay, cool. So, one of the matches... Okay, cool. So, day one, it was a two-day event.
Mm-hmm.
So, the standout matches for day one was Nick Wayne versus Marcus Mathers. Nick Wayne, I can't lie to you. I like Nick Wayne a lot.
Nick Wayne...
He signed to AEW.
I recognize the name.
He's with Christian Cage. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah. Ain't he like 17 or something like that? Or young? Yeah, like 18.
18, 19.
Yeah.
Okay, I like Nick Wayne a lot.
Mm.
But for me, just in case you guys don't know what for me means, it means that if you listeners, it means that because I've said that you guys can't argue with me. It's my opinion. So if I say for me, you can't change my mind. I'm so sorry. But for me, there's something missing.
He is young, though.
No, he's young. That's what I'm trying to take that into account.
Mm.
But yeah, there is something missing. I don't know where it is, but there's just something about him. Though he's able to put out like good matches and he's got some good sequencing, but something is missing for me. I just don't see it in me yet. I don't know where it is. But he had a good showing in the tournament. He made it to the finals. Alec Press. We spoke about him a few weeks ago. Someone said that he reminds them of... was it Alec Press that someone said they remind them of Adam Cole?
Yeah, me.
Was he on the DPW show, right?
Yeah, yeah, DPW. Yeah. Yeah. He had a match against Jonathan Gresham, which was a good match. Mm-hmm. He had a good,
Are you seeing the similarities or no?
I had to see it.
Yeah.
I had to see it. But because in GCW, he's more of a face. He hasn't really got... Yeah. He's not really a heel in it. But... one of the first round matches was a six-way match, whilst the other first round matches were singles matches.
Okay.
And then I'm guessing because in GCW fashion, they just want to have a match where it's just full of chaos. Myron Reed ended up winning that match. Okay. Jordan Oliver, he won the Jersey J-Cup last year. So then he ended up winning the Jersey Championship World Champion, World Heavyweight title. Wait, I just clocked. He lost the world title. He's meant... Actually, no. I thought he was meant to be defending that soft pro. He's not. He's facing Leon Slater for his belt. So... oh, God. They jammed. But anyways... Jordan Oliver was defending the belt each round of the tournament. So if he had lost it in the first round, he would have lost the world title. He ended up... Which we thought that... what's that guy's name? What's that Agbaya's name? Eddie Kingston. That's what people thought he was going to be doing in the C2. But... Tony Khan obviously said no, I'm not doing that in it. But bro, even the great Sasuke had a match. He defeated Mike Bailey. I can't lie, that match kind of sucked, man. Great Sasuke is old, man. Great Sasuke is old now, isn't it? Like, he's not, like, injuries have taken his toll. He's not the great Sasuke we knew. Like, he's changed his style, isn't it? Like, as much as he used to be the high flyer, he's more like submission based and he tries to cheat. He thinks he's a hardcore wrestler, basically. But yeah. But so Jordan Oliver and Marsha Slamovich made it to the finals. Marsha Slamovich ended up winning. Good match. It was a very, very good match. And also on day two, Blake Christian defended his GCW world title against Homicide.
Oh, interesting.
This seems like a good show.
Yeah, I can't lie to you. No, altogether, it wasn't a bad show. The best match of both days was the Astronauts versus Jonathan Gresham and Mike Bailey. I don't know why Jonathan Gresham and Mike Bailey don't team up often more than they actually do. Like, they team up quite often in TNA, like, in the past few months, but they need to be a certified tag team. This match with the Astronauts, for Minoru Abe and Takuya Nomura, I said this to Sam maybe like 2 weeks ago when we were talking about like matches. These two had a singles match at Freedom sometime last year. One of the best matches I've ever seen. One of my favorite matches in 2023. Astronauts, check them out. They're proper good. But Blake Christian versus Homicide for the GCW World title. I can't lie to you, I'm not sold on Blake Christian as a heel.
Yeah, it's not sounding like something kind of be invested in.
I think he's forcing it. Man. You know that man where there's like, we know you're talented, and like, it seems like you're going over the top to show that you're trying to be a heel. It's like,
yeah.
I see through it. You're not that guy. Like,
you're not that guy.
I'm not convinced by Blake Christian as a heel. I'll be real.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't see it. Even just looking at him as a person, I don't see the heelish tendencies to be there. So, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not convinced whatsoever. So, Homicide looks good. Like, you know, would have been. Homicide's homicide. But Masha Slamovich versus Jordan Oliver in the final. She choked that nigga out, man.
Oh, is it?
She choked that nigga out, man. As a referee had to pop up Jude Oliver's arm, it's like, yeah.
Oh, man.
She won the Jersey J Cup, and now she's the JCW whatever it champion.
This cup is sounding interesting, you know. I might actually watch it.
I mean, there's a few decent matches, do you know what I mean? Jordan Oliver versus Myron Reed, former tag team partners in MLW.
Myron Reed's my guy as well. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just getting through that aura that is GCW. I think I just need to get that out of my mind, and then I might be able to watch it.
It's gonna be
Alec Price versus Joe Janela was a good match as well. There's some like good stuff on the card. I think it's like when you get to maybe some of the multi-man matches, it's a bit shout out man like Darius. He was on the card as well. He lost in the opening round to Marshall Slamovich. Okay. The crowd proper loved that. When I say 0-1, you say 2-1, 0-1, 2-1, 0-1, 2-1.
Really?
They fuck with it. I muted it, but okay. Yeah. I muted it, but hey. But yeah, then he was in a 12-man tag match the next day. The crowd. Hey, listen. I rock with my lad Darius when he's wrestling. Past his entrance, I rock with him. But when the entrance is happening, I'm not there. I can't see it. I can't read.
I can't read.
So yeah, man. The Jersey Cup was okay. I like wrestling tournaments, innit. I want to see more wrestling tournaments this year.
I love them. I really love them, but it's just the aura of I need to get past it. My mind just doesn't want to accept
GCW. I totally hear it. I think GCW is very car crash. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going sometimes. They don't know whether they want to be a hardcore company. They don't know whether they want to be pure graps. It's like a weird variety show. Do you know what I mean?
That's an X Factor.
Yeah. You remember like X Factor, it's like you had the over 40s, you had the over 25s, and speaking about over 25s, X Factor needs to make people that are 25 plus seem mad old.
Yeah, it's true.
25 plus. Brother, let me get 30 stiffer. I don't know. GCW is very pick and choose. Like, when it comes to like, they just want to be this variety car crash show. And I'm just like, maybe JCW needs to be one thing and then GCW needs to be another thing. But obviously, GCW is the name brand. Everybody knows GCW. So, but. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they need to do like a hard brand split, and then deathmatch wrestlers, they come here, and then the people that do graps, they come here. I feel like they'll be better for it. And then obviously you can alternate here and there. Is that? Is that?
They're a tour company, innit? They're not a TV. They don't have
a tour company, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'll try and check it out, actually.
No, I mean, yeah, check it out, man. I know they had a few shows not too long ago. They had Look At Me. They had Top Dollar versus Joe Janela. Apparently people speak so much.
Hey, going back to the beginning of the episode, can't lie.
I am. Hey, Joe Hendry. Oh, yes. Yes. Joe Hendry. Oh, hey, man. That was bloody hilarious. Bloody hilarious.
But I was also going to say AJ Francis can talk. I didn't know.
Bro, no, he's great.
Bro, I didn't know. I was like, bro, that guy can talk.
Bro, he's great.
Someone needs to find me that instrumental. I need that for a call.
She can use AI to get rid of the vocals on I'm sure, let's see, if I check now.
Bell is the king of AI, you know. He is the king of AI. Anything you need for AI. Logos, songs, instrumentals, voiceovers, he's there.
Bro, I love AI, man.
It's great, man.
Yeah, man.
Until we get AI wrestlers, fam.
Oh, stop it, man.
What instrumental do you want? To get ready to fly?
Yeah.
I just found it, man. But you know what's mad? That's how you know Ola doesn't have to use YouTube, because I literally just searched instrumental when it came up.
What, the one that he used?
Oh, is it the one specifically the one he used?
Yeah.
I've got the AJ Styles Get Ready to Fly instrumental right in front of me.
Nah. I need the remix one that Joe Hendry was doing and he was getting onto AJ Francis. I need that one.
I'll play it after the pod in it. I'll re-listen to it again just to double check. But yeah, if I find that, I find it. But cool. Indie Takers. You know what time it is, it's the end of the show. So match recommendations. What are we saying, guys?
I had one up.
Oh, you was locked in.
I believe it is Nakajima versus Keno, N1 victory to
as this guy disappeared.
Man got boomed.
The thing is, I love that match as well. Hola Jide. What's wrong with this guy, fam?
It got boomed. I take minus points this week. I forgot about the match. Oh, I ain't got a recommendation.
All right, cool. He said Keno versus Nakajima, N1 victory. That was a great match. I dropped this in the Discord earlier. What is it? And that's a good cheat as well, you know. If you can't think of a match, just go for the Discord match. You'll find something. But I'm going to say Chris Hero versus Adam Cole for the ROH World Championship.
Oh, Chris Hero. Where is Chris Hero now?
One sec.
Okay, why is he smiling?
Huh? I'm back!
What, are you on your phone?
Yeah.
Your phone's even clearer than your laptop.
Yeah, for real.
No way.
Yeah.
Big man thing. This is 1080p.
You're looking 4K.
Nakajima Keno N1 victory final, I think it's 2021.
I think. Yeah, you need to be doing episodes on your phone.
On your phone, fam.
Wait, for real?
You look like your core. You look like your core, fam. I think I was N1 victory 2022.
Okay.
I think it was 2022. What am I saying? Chris Hero versus Adam Cole for the ROH World Championship.
Where is that guy, bruv?
I literally asked.
Apparently he's signed to AEW as a producer, but he also works for West Coast Pro Wrestling as a producer. He wrestled a match with Timothy Thatcher at the end of the year last year, which was a good match.
Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Jeb, if you got a match?
I ain't got a match. I'll take minus points this week.
All right, cool. Well, you guys already know the vibes. It's been your boy, Del Boy.
Throwing up the set. Oh, that's supposed to be my outro. Oh,
Jambaz. Jambaz. Now, Ola, why is your thing so clear?
I can't believe it.
That's mad. I can't believe this shit.
What, phone from now on, yeah?
Bro, it might have to be, man.
Get your headset.
Yeah,
and use your microphone.
Yeah. I mean, the mic sounds clear already, but then we don't want to, yeah. But, bro, this is, hey, this, get this one is of a discovery. These.
Okay.
This is a discovery, fam. But, yeah. It's been your boy, Doughboy.
Been Young Wolf.
Hola. I nearly forgot my name, bro.
This guy's a non-entity, fam.
He's thinking about Loading Bar next week.
Trust me. Yes. Also, Loading Bar, Basement Grooves. It goes down in the basement. If you guys are looking for something to do, you guys want something fun on a Sunday, pull up. Loading Bar link will be in the bio for tickets. It's free, so it doesn't cost you anything. Ola will be there. Jem will be there. Yeah.
You will be there.
Take us. Yeah. Take us. Peace.